person who has triggered an investigation be left housed in the same institution, that does not ring right to me. And
is that what has gone on since this thing has come public?
That is happening. She is still there. The investigation is being done around her, and that is problematic for me. Because the fact that an investigation is being launched means that we do not know whether we have a problem or not. And until we know, that child should not be expected to stay in that institution. What, a narrative is being created, I realize now, around mental health and this and that and whatever. I want the public of Barbados to remember Yugi Farrell. Because sometimes we use people's mental health and start to create a narrative to justify systemic obscenities. And that is problematic. And while all of that is happening, I can tell you of an incident this morning where that child was transferred from that institution unbeknownst to her attorney and unbeknownst to her mother. And this is all after this is in the public domain. And this is all after we have said an investigation will be done and we're looking to move in another direction. As late as this morning, she was moved to receive medical care and her mother had not been notified. That is the type of institutional problem that we have, Glenn, and that is what is raising my concern.
You made reference to the interview you saw on television last night. I myself had misgivings about it. I felt it was being aired to try to control, as they say, the narrative.
Absolutely.
Because there was admission that they did not know the specifics and they could not speak the specifics. But then there were these general speculative things that if this and various scenarios, you know, hypothetical situations may create it that could be misinterpreted by persons who are not as acutely aware that that
of
is what's
what is
going on.
Now, let me say to you that there is a unit at the psychiatric hospital that treats two children in need of medical care. And it is no secret, I work with children in Barbados, I work with girls, I work with women, so obviously I am going to come into contact with what is happening. The psychiatric hospital spent time and money in collaboration with the Sandy Lane Trust to build a completely new child facility at the psychiatric hospital, one of the best in the Commonwealth Caribbean, I can tell you that. And in that institution, in the psychiatric hospital, no child is stripped of any clothes when they are on suicide watch. That does not even happen today in that unit at the psychiatric hospital. And I have gone through that with enough mothers and enough girls to know that it doesn't pertain. So it would be very interesting for the psychiatrist to come back and contextualize what institution it is that she was speaking of. But the child, the question would be, let's keep it broad. If a child has psychiatric issues and the child
certified, this is certified?
This is broad. I'm not talking about any particular incident, because as far as I know, the child in this case doesn't have any psychiatric history. So okay. Let's talk broadly, because I'm not sure why we are talking about this psychiatric issue, because it doesn't apply to the particular case, so I guess we only want to talk broadly. But let's talk broadly. If we have a child who is in conflict with the law or in need of care and who has psychiatric issues, we have a psychiatric hospital in Barbados. And I just told you, we have one of the best child units in the Caribbean. So why would the child not be transferred there for help? And if the child was transferred there and the child was transferred back to the government industrial school, the question would be, why would she be so acute and the psychiatric hospital would find it fitting to send her back to the industrial school? It means then that we have a bigger problem on our hands, Blaine. It seems like then if all of these things happen, we have bigger problems on our hands.
I get your point. Well, I am saying, pardon me, because I'm speaking in total ignorance. What do you have any idea who determines the steps to be taken, the direction to be taken, when for admission, and what happens? I know there are some rules, but you know,
psychiatric hospital,
who authorizes what?
You mean at the psychiatric hospital? Okay, so one of the things I would have done very early in my tenure on the board, there is no protocol for the transfer of students between the transfer of our clients from GIS to other institutions when they need care. So, like you rightly said, how is that transfer supposed to be done? Who is to notify the child's parents? Which parents are to be notified? Is the child supposed to see new doctors or continue with the old doctors if there were old doctors, et cetera, so on and so forth? There's no protocol between the GIS on these matters. I would have sat with the staff of the psychiatric hospital and developed a comprehensive protocol, got the support of the educational committee of the board for it, got the support of the board and sent it to the minister at his request. That protocol, as far as I know, has not yet come into play.
How long ago was that?
That would have been, I think, around early 2019. But if it's not that, I could always get the information back to Dennis.
A long time ago?
A fairly long time. It certainly wasn't under the current minister. So
right, okay.
This is all I'm telling you. This is not just, and let me address this issue of this photo. Let me address it. When I started to raise concerns about what was happening at GIS, at every turn I was being told, this don't happen, that don't happen, I don't know what you're talking about, that ain't true. So I realized the tactic for the collection of evidence, because that's what we're looking for now, evidence, right, had to be different. And so I started to collect evidence, which was tangible. It's not only, images of whatever is happening to what child, this, that, but there are other types of evidence. I was told when I brought up the issue of CXC certificates bearing the name of the government industrial school as an examination center, I was told it doesn't happen. So I had to go back and find certificates that children have been issued with in this country that bear the name of the government industrial school as an examination center. Now, that is a breach of a child's right. We do not publish these children's names and faces in the paper because they have a right to confidentiality so that when they come out of the institution, they can reintegrate into society. So when you give a child a CXC now with the center name, the government industrial school on it, you have breached that child's right to be able to reintegrate into this society and to turn their lives around. When I complained about that, I was told it didn't happen. Until I brought the CXCs and said, well, if it don't happen, somebody needs to reissue this child. Somebody needs to reissue this child. Somebody needs to reissue this child. So
What happened after that?
Well, Glenn, we're here in the public. So that's what happened after that.
I believe I'm reading something from the Victorian era.
From a novel.
Some primitive practices in Barbados. That we pride ourselves to be such a caring, loving. So, I mean, and it's going on for so long, nobody has had the outrage, the conscience that this can't be right. It just goes on and on, that becomes the norm.
So I started with the picture, but I want to address it frontally because people are making out this to be about who took a picture and who breached the child's rights. Like I said, the tactic had to be, if there was no tangible evidence, we would not be here today. Let us be clear about that. Okay? The photograph has not been shared anywhere. And I can tell you, because when the minister would have asked me, well, how am I going to get information from you? I said to him, well, minister, I would have to come to you with it physically. Because anything else would be a breach of the Computer Misuse Act and a breach of our child porn regulations. He can confirm it or he can deny it. So I was not even willing to share it with him electronically. Now imagine, Glenn, you know how Marsha Hines' name is in this country. My name is like how honey does be on bees. You really think that there could be a picture circulating of that child in Barbados today gone viral? As everybody is saying, and Marsha Hinesley has not yet been charged with something, rest assured that if there was an opportunity to detract from this matter in that way, it would already have been done. The picture was shared with no one by me. So, The only person that that picture was shared to by me was the child's mother and her legal team, because they have rights to it. She's a minor child who has a parent. Okay?
And so did they have copies?
There are no copies of the picture.
So there's no genuine picture in circulation?
Pardon?
So there's no genuine circulation picture?
There is no picture. I don't even think there's a photoshopped one. Because all how I have asked people, send the picture to me. Send it. Show me. I will meet you. I will come and see it on your phone. Up to now, the picture cannot materialize from anywhere. It was a tactic to detract from the real problem that we have here on our hands. And Glenn, as I'm going through it, you are recognizing it is a big problem. And it is institutional abuse. And so understanding that child cannot be left where she is today. And under the law, the minister can pardon that child either conditionally or totally today. So we are doing investigation and this and that and whatever. And this has always been my concern with the government industrial school. While the horse is growing, while the grass is growing, what do we give to the horses? What do we give to the horses? We're having an investigation and we want to find out this and that and that and that. Nobody has treated to that child. Up to this morning, she was being transferred and her mother had no idea under the sun where her daughter was. We are talking on one side and doing something on the other side.
So you think this is a case of an institution seeking to protect itself? Protect its image and reputations and its functioning and duties and people's careers or whatever. So they're closing shop, hunkering down, and just deflecting.
It became very clear to me a long time ago. It is what you call institutional abuse. It is systemic abuse. It is not something that is being done by one person alone. It is not one person's investment alone. It is a system that closes around the children who are in that institution and enables them to be treated in a way that is wholly inappropriate. That is what we're dealing with.
We have to take a break. A break is coming up. We have to take a break. Would you be willing to hold on and answer some calls even from the public?
Sure.
Okay. Morning, Brass Tacks. Hello, Maureen.
Hello.
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 Marcia. Hi. Are you still there? Marcia.
Hi.
You're still there.
Hello.
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Before we go, I'm getting the feeling that I'm surprised that there could have been so much to-do made of something which you said does not exist. Yeah, Brass Tacks, morning.
Hey. Yes, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Hello.
Yeah, we have Marcia Lane on the phone. You want to ask her a question about GIS operations and not this particular lady? Not a particular young lady.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, Miss Lane, could you tell me if the public, when they are giving their children over to the institution, if they are aware that these children cannot left or be released from this institution, whether or not their behavior, if it improves, whatever, until they're 18 years old?
That is one of the concerns as well that not only me, but that UNICEF has weighed in on. There is this way that there are some children who are committed to the government industrial school until they're 18 years of age. It is seen as unconstitutional. And I know that Jacqueline Seeley Burke, who is a UNICEF consultant that would have done several reports over the years on various aspects of the juvenile justice system, has said that particular thing is not supposed to happen. But I know that there are children who are committed to the government industrial school until 18 years of age. And yes, as you say, regardless of what happens, regardless of if they're reformed before, et cetera, they're just held there by court order until 18. So that is one of the concerns, and we do have children that would have experienced that recently.
I've known, Marcia, of instances like this. And, you know, when I sat and I listened to Rosalind, I cried because I remember trying. And then my child came home yesterday, he said, Mommy, and he was telling me what was said on the radio thing, because he knew I was trying to help a child. in similar circumstances. The amount of hide up and hush hush. I am so pleased with what you have done. And please, God is with you. Don't be hushed up. This is so wrong. I had a child. She could not even sit her exam while she was there. Her grandmother thought she was doing good to the child. And then she realized, I mean, she was like the criminal then when she wanted to help her grandchild. This is so wrong, Marsha. And when I listened to the whatever his name, he's the person in charge, I saw through it and I read through it because I knew when it was calling on the other administrations too. So it's not one thing.
Yeah, it's not one administration, no.
You vote for people to treat us badly. I don't care if it's B, D, N, D, P, Q, Q, Q. That's why I held on to this phone for almost an hour on my cell phone. It is so wrong. We hear of all the statistics that majority of those girls coming from that place, because I started to do some research myself. They are prostitution. That's of the two evils then. I thank God. I am so angry. I don't want to talk anymore. But Marsha, continue. Please do not give up. It is wrong. We don't need UNICEF to tell us it is wrong. It is wrong. I many sleepless nights I took with that child's grandmother, praying her through, telling her where to go. And you know when she went to certain places, I told her what she was told by the person when they were down St. Lucie? Man, she was dragged to the cause of who you think you are. You go in this place. And this party said that this thing is wrong and it needs to be dealt with. I don't know how the church could sit on these things. That's why I wish I had Dennis. Because Dennis would have put that lady in her place in such a decent way. That's the truth. Mr. Clark, I admire you, but you are too sweet. It is wrong. We cannot continue. As a mother, my belly burn when I see these things happen. Even for boys at the mental institution, there's so much wrong going on in Barbados. And we feel good because we say, oh, people say we're punching above the weight. And we got all these people giving us accolades. God help us.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Marsha, are you still there?
I still am.
Yeah. Thanks for being so generous with your time. But I want to commend you for this very major act of public service. I haven't been a member of cabinet, right? And I know how these boards operate. They submit minutes. And at least people in the ministry are supposed to read their own minutes. And people are encouraged to read other people's minutes. So they pick up things and you are expected to draw to your colleagues' attention, either at our cabinet meeting or informally. But these minutes are supposed to mean something and contain nuggets of information. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just flabbergasted and totally confused as to how this thing could have been going on for so long. And nobody could bestir themselves to seek to do anything about it. It seems to me that what we're looking at here is that we're not only looking at that this young lady's situation only illustrates a bigger picture and a deeper picture and a probably worse picture. And apart from the investigation into this incident, I think we need an investigation into the whole of the government industrial school.
Yes, I think it is that's what I'm concerned about. One of the other concerns that I had that I would have voiced as well at levels above me is the fact that the government industrial school has never attracted the scrutiny of the Auditor General. Now, the government industrial school is one of the oldest institutions on this island. There are other departments of government that have attracted the scrutiny of the Auditor General. We have never done a financial audit of the institution, and there is a significant budget associated with it. One of the concerns is the way that budget has been administered. So I'll give you an example, and it's not just the government's budget, it's the budget associated with the school. As you know, Bajans are very community-minded individuals. The problem that we have at the government industrial school is not one of money. We are able to attract donations, both monetary and in kind. What we do not have is a trust set up or a financial mechanism that brings that donation to book. All of those are things that the board has complained about consistently. We have an individual on our board who works with the ministry in a financial capacity and has made that lament over and over. The individual offered time to be able to set up the trust or the structure for the school. That was never taken advantage of. And the concern is that you get the support, the monetary and the in-kind support, But the question is, how much do the children and the families who are intended to benefit from those contributions benefit? So this is why I'm saying people are talking just about the children. It's about the children, yes, because they're the most important thing, but it's also very much about the structure and the culture of the organization.
Right. Shocking. I'm absolutely shocked and flabbergasted. But doesn't it, I'm sure the ministry has a representative on the board, doesn't it? Not? Isn't it not a member of the board who represents the ministry?
Well, what happens sometimes is that the recording secretary is, of course, afforded by the ministry, and the permanent secretary would, or the permanent secretary's representative would sit as they see fit.
Would sit as they see fit?
They would sit as they see fit.
But all the boards that had been associated with people from the ministries were representative of the ministry. And not, you weren't selective or you weren't allowed to choose. You were supposed to represent the ministry on an ongoing basis at those board meetings. Anyhow,
we have a representative from the prison. You are making me now look back into my minutes. I don't know that there is a substantive representative continuously from the... Yes, there is. The senior administrative officer at one point in time was assigned, but I haven't seen that play out in some months well. And actually, it's only when you asked me that question just now, Glenn, that I recognize that I haven't seen that play out in some months well. I'm not sure why.
Wow. This is really, really, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I really can't believe. Having been part of the system and having helped so hard with Barbie. Listen, I don't know. Are you under any pressure for your disclosures? Because you must be under some severe attack. Maybe on, so I don't go on Facebook, so on the face, must be getting murdered on the Facebook.
The good thing about me is that I get murdered in this country so much, I'm pretty accustomed to it. I think that what seasoned me for it the most is when one of, you know, I said the board is a creation of the minister. And right. I have been agitating for a long time behind the scenes about these issues. And one high-level person within the current government structure in Barbados would have said that had he known that I had gone through childhood molestation, he would not have put me on the board. So it is because of that experience he thinks that I keep coming, make all this noise and carry on and this and that and whatever. And by the time I processed that comment and sat with it, I was pretty much ready for anything else. This is something that I got up last week and decided to do. It is something that has been with me for a long time. I have spent a lot of sleepless nights in relation to this school and what is happening in it. But by the time I got through that comment, the rest of it now is just, you know, whatever.
Well, but I thought that was exactly why you should be on the board. But
well,
can I ask
I figured so too. But he didn't.
Can I ask a question? can I ask a direct question?
Sure.
Have you ever spoken or sought to meet with the minister directly on these matters?
Several times. The current minister and the former minister. I have even sent messages through the personal aide of the prime minister, the personal assistant of the prime minister, and I've sent emails to the prime minister as well. I did not come here first. This is not where I started with this. And I want
What response did you get to those?
The former minister, I would lie if I say he was not responsive. Every email I sent, he would acknowledge it. He would write me back. You know, he would create space for us to change policy. The board worked on a complete set of protocols for the school. The minister pretty much was very supportive. The top staff is represented on the board. He would have indicated to the top staff that he wants these protocols paid attention to, that he wants them to start functioning. And nothing happens. I don't think that we are moving in one direction with juvenile justice in Barbados generally. I don't quite get the impression that that's what the stakeholders at the school feel should be happening. And so you have that follow in terms of the policy and what we want to happen and the practice and what is actually happening. And I don't think we've done enough to address that difference, that little, you know, because you can put down anything on paper, but if people are invested in doing things the way that they're being done,
right,
nothing will change.
Right. But it seems to me we're dealing with a very, if all that you're saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt you, that this is a totally dysfunctional institution. Better improve them, reform them, make them productive systems. But if the system itself is rotten at the core, it can't produce excellent results.
And really and truly, like I said, that is why, you know, I struggled and I fought internally, but then why I said, okay, this is, you know, if this tactic isn't working inside, something else has to be done. And let me also say, Glenn, that there are levels of complicity across the system in Barbados. So the way that we process juveniles, both when they're in police custody and when they go through the court system, is problematic. Let me use this opportunity, now that I have the public, any child in Barbados who becomes in conflict with the law is automatically entitled to the representation of a lawyer provided by the legal aid department. There are a lot of parents who do not know that, and we have a lot of children who have come to the government industrial school. They are charged with things. They are told to plead guilty by officers of the probation department, by police officers, by all kinds of people, but they don't know, and their parents do not know, that they had the right to an attorney. And that is another concern that I have, because if you are going to deprive a child of its liberty, there should be clear proof at every turn that that child was properly represented and properly apprised of what would happen and what the child's rights were. So it is not only within the institution, it is a completely broken system, a completely broken approach to juvenile justice. One of the major reasons why the juvenile justice bill has been lagging for so long is because at one point in time, the child care board was not comfortable with taking the responsibility of dealing with children in need of care. Right now, in our system in Barbados, we have children in conflict with the law and children in need of care in the same institution. So what that boils down to at a street level is that you can have a child who committed an offense as serious as murder, and a child who is just in need of care because a parent has died or had a psychiatric break or some other thing has happened, and those two children find themselves in the same institution, under the same care, in the same environment. That is problematic for me. But the Child Care Board does not want to take over the responsibility up to when we had the consultations last. I don't know if the stance has changed, because as you will well expect, one of my punishments now is that I'm no longer integrated into the space, and that's okay. Or as long as it changes.
I missed that. You said one of your punishments is what?
I'm no longer integrated into the policy space. So meetings are happening, things are happening, but I'm not being told.
So you're being sidelined.
Yeah, exactly. I make too much noise, and that's fine. As long as we get the changes that we need, it's neither here nor there for me. But up to when we were at the policy table the last time, the Child Care Board did not want to take the responsibility for the children in need of care. So that was a big question in terms of where would these children go? Who would take responsibility for them? And really, Andrew, I don't understand how those things become issue, because the Child Care Board has a legal mandate. It has a statutory mandate.
Of course.
The statutory mandate gives it the right to provide, not only the right, but the responsibility to provide care for children in need of care in Barbados.
Well, Marcia, I think I'm trying to convince myself that I'm not watching Netflix, because some of the stories you gave me about treatment of children, how they denied legal representation, it's stuff you see on television. That's not supposed to happen in Barbados. But I'd like, Dennis, if there are any more calls that want to interact with Marcia, we talk some more about the situation there. So how do you see this panning out?
What I hope happens.
What's the next step for you?
Right. So what I hope happens is when I had written about the two incidences that happened at the end of November last year, I had made a recommendation that the girls' section of the school be closed. And the reason why I had made that recommendation was it was twofold. First of all, the level of the institutional abuse. I'm clear that this is not a situation where you can pluck out two or three people, put in two or three people, and it will be remedied.